Hey everybody, the show's about to begin, but before we get started, here are some words from our newest sponsors.
Guys, your bathroom called. It's time to give it the cleaning it deserves. Get rid of all the junk that's lying around. Freshen it up with high-quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Members like us, we get everything we need for the morning routine delivered right to your door.
DollarShaveClub.com. They deliver everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Dollar Shave Club is more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look and smell and feel at your best and give you a baby face like me, George. Check me out.
I'm digging it, goes. The Dollar Shave Club is better than shopping in the store, and it delivers everything to you. You don't have to set foot in the store, wandering the aisles hunting for razors, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, none of it. Clean up your bathroom and your morning routine.
Join Dollar Shave Club today, and just for $5 with free shipping, you'll get the six-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, one wipe Charlie's.
Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month.
Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
This is your captain speaking. We are making our descent into Las Vegas McCarran Airport. On behalf of our crew, we'd like to thank you for flying MMA Junkie Airlines. Now please fasten your seatbelts and put your tray tables in your upright position because the descent is going to be a little bit bumpy.
All right, Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. All night long, we rollin'! Yeah!
The MMA Junkie Radio revolution is upon us.
Can you dig it?
There's no escape. No escape. Through the vast frontier of cyberspace and through a sea of stars in outer space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We've solidified our combat communication stranglehold.
We are controlling transmission.
With the use of MMA Junkie Radio and SiriusXM satellite radio technology. MMA Junkie Radio. Commence transmission. Live from MMA Junkie Radio HQ in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Here are your hosts, Gorgeous George and Goz.
Now you see, I'm in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook. And my name is Gorgeous George, and this is MMA Junkie Radio, and this show is the only show that matters. That's Dan Tom, he's the fight analyst. That's Goz, he's our ace co-host. Back east, handling all the producing, Danny Otto. What's up, guys?
What up?
Oh, hey, fires to put out. I should have been a firefighter.
Steve Miocic hosting the show today, guys.
I know.
Yeah, really.
Can you name some more? Name three more. I'll give you a high five.
Chris Lytle.
Uh-huh.
Do they have to be – can they be firefighters now?
Yeah, as long as they fought a fire at some point.
Rick Story.
He was a firefighter?
Yeah, that's what he actually went to school, got all his credentials for it recently since his fight with Cerrone.
Oh, since he lost, since he retired.
Since he retired. Yeah, it was after the Cerrone fight, and then that's why it was news that he was coming back, like, because part of the reason why he was retired, he was doing that up in Seattle, Washington. I'm using that to buy myself some time.
Is he retired now, or is he?
He actually
back?
Signed up for the PFL. He's one of those entry people.
All right, so I'll give you that one.
Instead of Ramsey, right?
Ramsey Nijem?
Was it Ramsey or no? Wait, who was it? I thought somebody just did it like yesterday or the day before.
Oh, wow. Well, this might be an easy one.
Man.
No. Signed up for PFL. Not.
Oh.
Became a firefighter.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I have two more firefighters.
Well, we know Shields is in. And.
Oh, I got one. KJ Nunes.
He's a firefighter?
Yeah, he is. He was going through it. Chad Griggs is a firefighter.
Ooh, I didn't know that one either.
Eddie Wineland is a firefighter.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that one.
Yeah. And
Eric Del Fiero.
Eric Del Fiero is a firefighter.
Griggs looks like the guy that carries the hose up there.
I thought there was
right?
one more.
He just threw it
out. I don't know
shoulder.
About his private life. but who was – there was one more, I thought.
Firefighter. Well, Don Fry, right?
At one point, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Anyway.
They're partnering.
Between 9 and 10 a.m. is ridiculous, the things that happen, how bad my phone blows up. Oh, Russell Westbrook here. I guess, has to make his grand entrances with his headphones, so we needed to fix that problem. But
do you want
to
be on a flight without headphones?
No, but to the point where you might.
I've never, ever been late to a show in the history. And the one time, I may have made it back in time, who knows, but I would have been a little bit late. They were like, no!
I know, I mean,
that's still strolling in every day late.
That's not like a valid excuse, though.
To be on a five-hour flight without headphones would suck.
There's going
to
be a lot of people that do it today, and they'll make it just fine. But we got it.
Versus never being late to the show?
I'm here. It's we started the show. I did the entrance.
It's not as bad as forgetting your laptop, though, right?
Who did that?
I did.
Well, you were home.
Well, I don't need it anyway. But
you were home.
I know.
You forgot it at home?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me to bring that?
Because I don't need it.
Oh, okay. All right. So today is the last show of the week. Mark that down. Tomorrow on the Sirius XM audience, you will get a replay, and you will also get a best of put together by our great producer. What's his name?
Hee-hee Ogres.
Denny or Danny?
Denny.
Denny Otto. Denny Otto. He hasn't said shit. Not even wow, 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 wow.
I mean, I've been holding my wows because I know you guys are going to say something that's more wow worthy.
Hey, Danny, wouldn't it be easier for you to just even find Mr. T from Rocky III? At some point in the movie, he says, shut up, fool. Record it. And then when I say that, say something towards you that's derogatory rather than saying wow 1,000 times in a row. Every once in a while, play, shut up, fool.
I mean, I could do that, but it's more
go.
It's more sincere coming from me
it's
every single time.
Tired. It's dull.
The that that's his thing.
Wow. It's on nice. Everything?
Yeah. Hey.
So if Marissa walked in right now today, said that today's your last day, he'd just go, wow. And if he was dating a girl for 10 years and she broke up with him, he'd go, wow.
Well, he's not Joey Lawrence. I don't think he would do it in that situation, would you, Danny? I think he'd just do it on the show.
Yeah, just do it for the show.
You do it on Popping Off? Move it to Popping Off. Bring a new one to us.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
Did you know Jersey Shore is back?
Somebody said that.
Yeah.
Oh, you said you got a text.
Yeah,
you
and thought I, thought person was, I thought it was 2002 or something. Sorry.
Text from 10 years ago or something like that.
No, they're coming back. They're going to Miami. I think all of them except for Sammy Sweetheart. Ooh, we're going to miss her, right?
Well, why does it have to be a girl, though?
What do you mean?
The girl drama's kind of fun.
Yeah, but she was tired. Worse than wow.
I suppose. I mean, okay. Ronnie was knocking people out. Vinny, did he really bring much to the party?
He got interesting the last
I guess
seasons,
he did become a started, pimp daddy for a while.
He started popping off a little bit.
The situation's just a train wreck. And then the other guy, man, go spin your records. I mean, either Vinny or Pauly D, I guess you could do without. But Pauly D's got the look.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny's, I don't know.
Well, yeah, apparently they're back. I couldn't believe it.
I just thought of something you guys could get me back with and assign me if you beat me on one of these fight bet
predictions.
You
want to recap it every week like Gerald Harris did?
I was able to avoid it even as a hardcore junkie listener at the time when you guys were hardcore into the original Jersey Shore. I avoided watching a single episode, if you can believe that. But
not even the one where Snooki got knocked out? Just because, not that I'm into that, but that's really what made them famous.
Yeah, it was a big thing. I never went back to watch that episode and maybe even the clip. You know, maybe I can do a breakdown of that sometime, break down that fight. But
How he threw his punch or what? She didn't slip it?
I don't know. I've never seen it. Yeah, no, I've never seen a single episode. So if you guys ever want to get me back, just because I'm feeling kind, you can just throw that out there. You could always assign that to me.
If it's not your thing, you're going to hate us.
You may have to watch one season to just kind of know who's what, why is he saying that.
It sounds like.
What do they say? TLF, BLT, what's the thing? Laundry tan, GTL.
GTL.
Well, next time I'm coming strong and you guys don't agree with the pick, be like, all right, how about a little Jersey Shore bet?
It sounds like Dan really wants to watch it, but he doesn't. He wants to.
He wants an excuse.
Yeah, he wants it to
be,
well, I have to watch it because they made me.
In case someone walks in and goes, oh, my God, dude, welcome to 10 years ago. He's like, oh, well, they assigned it to me at work.
That's true. I actually think what Ghost said is true, though. I'll probably not like it because I'm not a reality show guy, so it'll probably like not be my thing. And I'll be like, what the heck is this?
I'll watch any reality show as long as there's drama involved. I watched one about horse jockeys one time only because they were getting in fights.
Was Neil Siri on there?
No.
Was he?
He's a horse jockey. We're talking about MMA trivia of guys that would got MMA trivia of job professions. Yeah, Neil Siri is a horse jockey.
You know, yesterday we spent a lot of time on what happened with Tony Ferguson and Max Holloway subbing in.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple interviews, so we got through that. And then at the end, we just kind of glossed over it. How about Matt Brown tearing his ACL? Yeah. He's out of the fight with Carlos Condit. Yeah. And so now we can actually react and add some news to that. Alex Oliveira, the other cowboy, will be subbing in. So, and he's an entertaining fighter.
Yeah.
And I think one could call him a solid welterweight. He's probably just a notch or two below Matt Brown in terms of the appeal, especially to the common man. Tickets are bought, and I think most people bought theirs based on Gaethje and Poirier, but that was a nice backup, you know. Heal well, Matt Brown. He's already been pretty positive on social media, and he says at some point, in some way, he's going to benefit from it. And, you know, obviously some of that is a spin and positive thinking, but maybe a year off will just clear up other injuries or allow him to do some things that he wanted to do while he obviously rehabs and then maybe still gives us another run of fights. I don't know. But I think a lot of people just felt like it would have been fun for these two fighters at some point to meet up, and that's what was going to be so historical about the matchup. Not that it really had anything to do with what's happening at the top of the division, but stay positive. Maybe we'll see it at some point. But still, your thoughts on Oliveira? You know, the injury and Oliveira subbing in?
Well, I thought somebody in Matt's position where he's just already kind of done with the whole thing, I thought if there was anything that would make him say, this is it, is an injury like that. Like, who would want to rehab it and then come back and fight? Like, it just seems like too much. It seemed like the Condit fight was just enough to really get him to want to fight again. But and as far as the replacement, oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. Late notice. I'm down with that fight.
Cowboy Oliveira?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dangerous fight for Carlos Condit to get back to his feet on. But so is Matt Brown, obviously. Matt Brown, despite the retirement talk, he shows he still has the tools. But correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Did they try to make this fight before, or am I confusing the 120 side? Was it UFC 127? Chris Lytle, who we just talked about, was supposed to fight Carlos Condit. I'm pretty sure that was a booking. But I'm also pretty sure Matt Brown versus Carlos Condit was also a fight. If not, it was definitely one that was like on the forums back in the day, you know, about 10 years ago, people were calling for. So again, whether it had some type of history, so for it to come on the heels of the Khabib-Tony, which obviously had its own history, which we talked about, yeah, it was like the hardcores were just getting washed.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great fight. And, you know, the other cowboy, Cerrone, I heard is headed for Singapore to headline there.
Okay.
Did you guys catch that one?
Mm.
Well, did you catch his opponent?
Did
you catch his opponent?
No.
Oh, it's Leon Edwards. That's who it was. It was Leon Edwards.
That's still not official, though, is it?
It started to sound that way.
Yeah.
It started to sound that way. So Leon Edwards was on our show, and he was actually calling out George Masvidal for July. He also mentioned Cerrone, kind of like as a B to Masvidal's A, or, you know, option B or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it looks like he got it. He'll be in a high-profile fight in the fact that he'll be headlining. Probably not where he wanted it. I think he wanted to start planting a seed down here in North America. But Singapore, I hear, is a beautiful city. Cowboy's kind of become a little bit of a road warrior. And he gets to fight Cowboy. And he saw what it did for Darren Till. So it could just be one of those where you have to put in the work. And if you can get one over on Cowboy, now you may be in a position like Darren Till. But
yep.
Darren Till has already kind of been warming things up with great fights, a great record, talking some smack. Then he gets that win. Talks a good game, and now everyone's talking Darren Till. He's got Stephen Thompson, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So big, big fight for Edwards. He has plenty of time to have a great camp and go out there and perform against a tough out.
He's getting Cowboy at a good time, though, right? Like, Cowboy hasn't really talked about ending the career, but I have to imagine at this point, I don't want to say the dude's in cruise control, but he's probably not the same. He probably doesn't tackle fights the same way he did maybe 3-4 years ago, right?
Well, you know what goes on?
Seems like he just kind of takes them and...
When he fought Lawler in Anaheim,
God,
I thought he looked great at times.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't look great for the whole time you're in there with Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler's going to have a moment or two as well. But I thought he was fighting. I thought Lawler was going to smash him. And he actually looked really good at times. So I don't know. I just think perhaps you're right in terms of the best cowboy we'll ever see. But as far as a high-level cowboy and what it takes to win a title...
No, I think it's just right, because you know how some people try and get that win off the guy that's like on his four-fight losing streak, and you're the fourth guy? it doesn't mean as much. I think a win over Cowboy still means something.
Oh, yes,
yes. You know, because he hasn't really gotten to that point yet.
If that fight happens, I like it. You know, I think it's going to be a fun fight, first of all, which is important. Edwards versus Cerrone. Mm-hmm. It'd still be a tough fight for Cowboy, I think, stylistically, even if he's firing still firing on all cylinders because it's a southpaw and he's got mixed records against southpaws. But one thing about Darren Till and Stephen Thompson, since you guys mentioned that fight too, and that fight is confirmed, one thing I don't think a lot of people are mentioning is that I think that has the potential to be a very boring fight, which stylistically, because they're both guys that love to counter. Darren Till, we remember his stoppage, but that was, you know, aside from his first fight against a different gentleman by the name of Oliveira, I believe. It was his first fight in Brazil. He got the stoppage of the ground and pound elbows. I think the rest of them were decisions, and they were kind of decisions where the criticism of Till was he wasn't throwing a lot because he's a very, you know, flow. He's feigning at guys. He's showy. And that's great and all. I actually love that style a lot, but he's not a volume guy. Mm-hmm. He's not a pressure guy. He's a counter guy. Well, what is Stephen Thompson? He's a pressure guy. You need somebody to kind of play into them, right? And we've seen it with Stephen Thompson, obviously, when he gets another guy who says, I want to counter too, like Tyron Woodley. We've seen what that looks like. So I find it really interesting because you have not just all this hype on Darren Till, but everybody's talking about the hype on the event, right? This is going to be the event that's going to be like Connor and Dublin. This, you know, Darren Till and Liverpool, you know, and
that's why I was thinking that it can't be boring because Liverpool's going to be such a great setting, and by the time they get to that late night fight because of the time difference, all the pints have been slammed down. You know, the English fighters, I'm sure, will have like a 5-3 record going into that.
Right. There'll be some nice fight. Performances, I'm sure.
I think Till knows he's got to deliver. He wants to win, but I think Till knows the difference between winning and winning with a statement and winning with a statement in your home city. Ooh.
And that could play against him too. So that's an interesting factor you bring up because that could play against him. Because what if it is a boring fight? What if I am right and their styles don't match and that crowd starts itching it? You know, Stephen Thompson's going to boo all you want.
What I meant was, you're right. There's probably going to be long stretches where that could happen. Mm-hmm. But because of the environment that arena will set and that city will set for the whole week and for the whole night, you know, all the chants, mm-hmm. all the screaming, there's going to be a good vibe. Even those tense moments won't seem like when they're somewhere else in another part of the world and things can get kind of quiet and all of a sudden, especially North America. Yeah, because us North Americans, man, we start booing. We turn into assholes.
But I think we're starting to hear it now more and more in different places.
You know what I mean?
He's right, though, and Stephen Thompson has proven, because he's been in that situation with Tyron Woodley, he doesn't care if people boo. He will not react. So I think it puts a lot of pressure on Darren.
Right. That's why I'm saying Darren won't let it be a boring fight. I think Darren will step up when he needs
stuff.
To, or just the tension of the fight itself. Now, granted, we have to cover 25 minutes, and if you're right, if we're in the fourth round and nothing's happening, but I just think at some point someone's going to pull a trigger. Now, remember, Wonderboy also can't just cruise to wins. I know he's got an injury he'll be coming back from, so he can't just cruise to wins, because if he wants to somehow be in there, not only avoid Till, but outperform Ponzinibbio and Usman, outperform Covington and RDA, or whoever else. I guess RDA and Covington are locked in to fighting Woodley when he's healthy.
Right.
But anyone else, he has to make sure he's exciting enough that he just doesn't skate by with a win.
True.
Want to welcome to the show Keith Lee.
What's up, fellas?
Younger brother of Kevin Lee. Now 21 years of age.
Finally.
He can now chill with us here in the studio. We had to set him outside there a couple times with a rattle and some toys and some crayons.
More than a couple times.
But apologies for that. That was just a strict gaming rule. And now you're here, man. Good to have you here.
Great to be here.
Yeah. All right, man. What you wearing? What you rocking there?
You already know. I'm Detroit to the fullest. Buffs on my face. I got to be normal.
Man, you sound – I mean, I hate to say that. I didn't even want to say younger brother of anything. Your brother's a great guy.
Yeah,
I love
him
to death, and I'm sure you do too. But I wanted you to, you know, obviously be your
of course.
Yourself. But you said, man, you already know, and you sounded just like him.
Hey, I get that all the time.
Yeah.
I get that all the time. Man, he sound like
me. There you go.
He sound like me. That's what it is.
So we're just chatting here about some of the fights in the welterweight division.
You guys started on the Till fight.
Mm-hmm. The Till fight. Yeah, you down with Till and Wonderboy?
I give it Till.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good one.
Okay, and how do you see it going down?
I don't know. I see Till being way too aggressive. I don't, like you were saying, I don't know if Stevens is going to play it soft or play it too safe, because he played it way too safe in the Tyron fight. Mm-hmm. And I think he knows that Till has power. I think Cowboy underestimated that. Till has a lot of power.
Yeah.
And I think Stevens is going to come in knowing that, and is going to be a little too hesitant. Mm-hmm. And I think Weston's going to take over that. Teal's really smart at taking notice of that type of stuff. I think he's going to smash.
Smash?
Yeah, I think he's going to smash.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? He's capable of it.
Yeah.
How about that hand?
I know.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that he said he couldn't even make a fist. Yeah, now all of a sudden he can get in a fight. Like, who knows how that's going to react?
I was just as shocked as you were when we heard that announcement.
That's a big deal.
Wonderboy was actually going to be one of the guys on our trip, and because of the hashtag press conference they're having, if that's what it's being called, or maybe it's just the build-up to big fights that are on their way, you know, on the spring and summer schedule for the UFC. For those that don't know, out in New York, I'll get you all the details hopefully before the show's over, in Brooklyn, there will be a press conference with all of the headliners to the upcoming events. So DC and Stipe will be there. Ponzinibbio and Usman will be there. Till and Wonderboy will be there. Whitaker's flying in from Australia. Him and Romero will be there. And what's left? Not Gaethje and Poirier, because that's next week. I'm sure I'm missing someone. Maybe even Cerrone and Edwards. I don't know. Whatever else is probably covering through International Fight Week. It looked like about a list of about 10 deep. What were we going to say?
Nunes.
Well, I was going to say, what about
Nunes Pennington? Yeah, I could see that one there as well.
Carla and Claudia.
Do they headline, though?
Are they not headlining?
No.
No, it's just headliners.
Well, I was going to say, are we allowed to talk about, like, the background stuff on our trips?
Sure.
That could have got very nasty for us. Because when we had our cancellation, one of the guys that we almost got to come with us was Max Holloway.
Oh, yeah.
And can you imagine this late in the game finding out Max couldn't have gone?
Yeah, we've already had to do some reshuffling, and we were able to do it. Going on our trip will be George Masvidal and Derek Lewis, along with Eric Nixick from Extreme Couture. But originally, it was going to be a Vegas-based crew, and we had to do a little bit of reshuffling, and our reshuffle got reshuffled. So it's been pretty stressful, man. In fact, I got to do some sort right now. I may take off these headphones and just make one last call. People are tripping. But anyway, I'm sure we'll get over it and figure it out.
Eric and Derek, huh? They've talked to
cornered against them?
Yeah. They've talked, you know, even on the show. Eric sitting in interviews. They're cool. But that's
shout out to Eric.
Everything, yeah. Shout out to Eric. It's funny how close everybody's knit. Yeah. Eric,
nobody dislikes him, huh?
Oh no, he's like
I've known him for a decade.
He's pretty chill, man. He really is.
I've known him for a decade, and he's
the only time I was about to say I've never even seen him mad, but I did see him pissed at the team. Maybe Keith was there that day.
He gets pissed.
There was a day where I think the coach had Dennis was running a practice.
Yeah, I was there today.
And then it was either the guys weren't coming in, or the guys weren't saying an extreme, or the guys weren't. I don't know, but it was something about team camaraderie. Yeah. The knee pads. I think he told people get knee pads.
I was there. Yeah.
Was he part of the problem?
Of course not. Okay. I'm always under the radar.
All right, so all of a sudden, I see them start yelling and yelling and yelling. And what I really liked was that Ray was a fighter that day, not a coach. But Ray kind of like almost took the role of a team captain, you know, and also started yelling. And so Ray's an authoritative figure, you know, I mean, because the belts that he's had, he's scary, he's big, he's the president of a league, and he's a longtime member of Extreme Couture, so it's not like a guy, well, you've only been here 6 months, nothing like that. And all of a sudden, he starts saying it, and what I really loved even more was Ray took the punishment. Mm-hmm. So what these guys were doing was they were doing, first of all, they were doing burpees, and then they were switching off. Half of them were doing burpees. And then the other ones were doing the vertical push-ups,
right? Yeah, it was terrible.
Woo, man! Terrible. And I saw, I go, is Ray really going to go all the way? Dude, he did. He went all the way. He was doing his push-ups. Laughing, though. All the other guys were miserable. Ray was laughing, kind of like, this is a punishment, but that's the way it is, you know? And then
that was after
switched.
Six rounds of sparring.
Huh?
That was after six rounds of sparring.
Yeah, they switched, terrible. Dude. I was like, man.
For junkies,
I would never forget my knee pads after that.
Junkies that have ever went to the last junkie gathering where they did the tryouts for the pro team, they had to do that.
Yeah.
And I remember they did it at the end where we were thinking, all right, they got to be done. And that looked like it was the worst thing you guys would have to do. And they did it at the very end.
Yeah,
people were
terrible.
Throwing up. And that had to have been a nightmare.
But it's important to wear knee pads because you can make a mistake and throw a kick or somebody shoots a takedown and split a guy open and finish a fight. Like, it's
career
you're
playing
with. So
knee pads above the shin pads.
Yep. Okay. To make sure, because a lot of guys don't even intentionally throw knees in practice. But if you make a mistake and throw a knee, you can split a guy open with no problem.
Yep. So when you're on the mat, the one guy that you got to hope has him is probably Uriah Hall, right?
Exactly. You don't want to take that knee.
I'd bring an extra pair every day just to make sure. Uriah, you got yours.
Got
right?
yours?
I got you.
Here you go. How long have you been a member of the team? Just as long as Kevin's been here, or did he come out before?
I came right after him. So I came out maybe like 4 or 6 months after him. I had to wait till I graduated high school. Yeah, so I came out here right after I graduated. So it's been like 3-4 years now. Yeah.
I believe we called your first amateur fight.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
A couple of them.
That went by fast.
On Mesquite.
Yeah, up in Mesquite. Yeah, that went by fast. What, that was like 2 years ago now?
I remember as they were going to the cage, I think Robert Drysdale said, like, watch this. Yeah. Something like that. And, we talked about you at length afterwards.
Hey, it was a good fight. Like, I've only been fighting for 2 years now, so it went by fucking super fast.
It has. It feels like just yesterday.
I really do.
I've been going to Extreme Tour for a while, but I haven't been there much in the past couple of years. But, you know, training with a lot of the same people. You know, the younger guys, the Corey Conways, Jordan Carbone. Uh-huh. More amongst those classes, seeing those guys come up had been a trip for me personally, because I remember kind of, you know, coming up with those guys. And I remember your first amateur quote-unquote tryout there and sitting on the signs for that. I was still active enough in the gym for around then when you were coming in, and I remember that. So now just seeing your rise has been awesome, man.
I've been so awesome to watch. I've been trying. It's a tough role, but I think I'll get there pretty soon.
Yeah.
So you had to try out?
Yeah, we tried out for the amateur teams about 2 years ago. Out for the amateur teams.
No nepotism, huh?
Yeah, I got no special treatment. No. I got it worse, if anything. No special treatment.
And so I know Kevin wrestled in high school and then wrestled in college. You just told us, though, you came straight out of high school. So
I wrestled in high school. I was a 2-time state champ. And then I came out here, and then I went back to school for maybe like 6 months. And I was there, and I was like, all my family's in Vegas. Like, it was right after we all moved. So I was like, oh, why am I? I was in Indiana, South Bend, Indiana. So I was like, why am I in the middle of Indiana when I can be in Vegas training to fight? Like, I didn't even really want to go to school. So I came back and I left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just didn't feel like it was school for me, honestly. Going into it, I knew it wasn't for me. So I'd rather punch people in the face all day.
When it's all said and done, you think you'll go back to school, or school won't be for you?
I got a short attention span. I like punching people too much. Like, I'd rather sit in the gym all day than sit in the books.
Were you, shall we say, a troublemaker in school?
And then some.
Because you're pretty chill, man. I've never gotten that vibe. I'm
super chill. That's what made it worse, because I was too chill in school. Like, I was a kid that would, like, just sit in the back of the class, like, sleep half of the day. And then, like, teachers didn't like it, so I would get up and walk away.
Okay. Yeah, tell me about give me a good troublemaker story. You know what? Let's take a break. Let's set this up so you know what I'm looking for.
Definitely.
You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM. Rush 93, stay close, and we'll be right back. We have Keith Lee in studio here with us, MMA pro now, sporting a 3-1 record. And later on in the show, we will also be talking to John Anik, the UFC play-by-play commentator, who will be calling the fights out in Brooklyn for UFC 223 alongside Joe Rogan and Jimmy Smith. They're calling it the Dream Team. We'll talk about some of those fights, some of the big stories that are coming in from Brooklyn, New York. And we'll finish up the show with the funniest man on the planet, Joey Diaz. He'll give us his predictions for UFC 223. So it's going to be a fun show. Buckle up. We'll be right back.
What you want to do is follow for now. Hell, what the people say. Make a miracle. Keep up the lyrical. Black is back all in. We're going to win.
Charm. Compassion. Common sense. These guys have none of that. You listen to them, so you're no better. I am awesome, though. They are Gorgeous George and Goes.
All right, we're back on MMA Junkie Radio. Don't forget, the show's Monday through Friday, but today's our last live show. Thursday and Friday. Danny, tell them what they're going to be hearing.
Well, Friday we're going to get a replay, and tomorrow we're going to get a best of, and it's going to be best of Mike Pyle when he was in, and we also had a doctor in, a neurologist specialist.
Tad Seifert.
That's it. That's his name. I couldn't remember his name.
And you – actually, you know, I want to talk about something real quick. Every time we have Kevin in, he makes fun of all the music we play. Everything. Doesn't matter what we put on, he doesn't like it. What do you think of today we're going to do Beastie Boys and we're doing Public Enemy? What do you know? That's kind of like old school stuff. Okay. You know any of that? Or do you, are you on board with Kevin, like whatever he listens to?
I don't really listen to the same music he listens to, but the things you just said sounds terrible.
Yeah? Sounds Public Enemy? Oh. Danny, can you play a little bit? All right, play. You never heard any of
this
stuff?
I've heard this song before.
Okay.
I've heard this song before.
What about Beastie Boys? You've heard of them?
I've heard Beastie Boys. I don't think I know any of their songs, though.
Really? Never heard this song?
No.
Oh man, the leads, dude. You ever hear this?
Oh no. Oh no.
Never?
I don't never listen to music like this.
Oh, you only said like two words.
As soon as I heard the first scream, I would have turned it off.
Yeah?
Oh, I was...
No love for any 80s hip-hop, nothing?
Nothing?
Zero. I was born in 96. Oh, come on.
I graduated high school in 96. Holy
wow.
Shit.
I'm a baby.
Man.
Wow.
Bring George back. This one hurt.
I was in sixth grade.
I listen to a lot of 90s hip-hop.
Like
a lot of Tupac, a lot of like Biggie.
All right.
Things that come natural to me, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't never listen to Beastie Boy.
Biggie's my favorite, not just because I'm going to Brooklyn, but, you know.
You Kevin, go to Brooklyn, you got to say that.
We let Kevin pick the music one time, and George described it as, and I'm with him. There was somebody, I think it was Drake or someone like that. It literally sounded like he was reading a list of shit that he wanted to buy at Target. So, like, music in the background, all I know is I could have done that. Like, if they said, hey, he can't make it to the show today, I would have said, all right, just give me the list, I'll read it.
And you
I,
said you
I
think it was Drake? It.
I think it was, or somebody.
It was definitely Drake.
Danny, do you remember who it was?
It was Drake. It was Drake for sure.
It was Drake?
Yeah.
What song by Drake?
Oh, I can't remember. Awful. That's going too far back for me, but I do remember it was, they were copying it for the rest of the episode.
Is Drake like Usher with like less creepier lyrics?
Drake is amazing. No, Drake is one of the best hip hop artists out right now.
It was
if not the best.
It was more the song that he picked than Drake himself.
Yeah,
that
makes sense.
But it was.
I've heard some Drake that I like.
Yeah,
I've heard some
particular one that he picked.
I've heard some bad Drake.
In 10 years that we've done this show, I've never gotten in a fight with a guest. That was the closest I've ever come to fighting someone. It was awful. Remember, all of us, all three, even Danny, who's in New York, and he's the youngest of all of us, right? He's younger than you, isn't he?
Yeah.
Even he was appalled. We had no idea. I think he might have done it on purpose.
Any Drake is better than Beastie Boys, though.
No, come
on. Any Drake.
Any Drake?
Any Drake. I could take old school, like in my feelings, Drake.
That's a tough argument.
The
I was with you.
I'm about to cry.
I was okay with Drake, and then you took it to the extreme.
Like, I don't think I've ever heard like a full Beastie Boy song.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna hear a few today.
I've heard Public Enemy. My dad's in love with Public Enemy, so I've heard Public Enemy, but no Beastie Boys.
Mm. All right, hey Dan, Tom, you and Danny are gonna meet up when you're out in Brooklyn. Is that open, or is it just you guys?
I mean, it's a free country.
There's a lot
we're going to some public events.
I know, I mean, it sounds like they're dating. I didn't mean to do it that way. What I mean is,
if they're okay with, you know,
because you guys are going to, are going to like a meatball place, right, or something like that.
I mean, that's one way to put it.
I was just about to say.
I don't want to ruin your guys' date.
Jesus.
No, yeah.
But Danny, if anybody knows of any extra tickets, Danny's never been to a UFC, right, Danny?
Right. I still haven't yet.
That's right.
Oh, damn.
This would be an awesome one for him. See, this is our producer, Danny. He's in New York, and he's kind of a noob.
I can tell. Starting I've never been to a UFC fight. What's up, Danny?
Yeah, he's starting to like MMA a little bit more. And so anyways, yeah, if you guys meet up, that'd be pretty cool. Let's jump into UFC 223 and talk a little bit about the card. You've heard our thoughts. I want to get Dan's thoughts on a couple matchups that we haven't covered yet. But before we get to that, let's get a few of Keith's thoughts. First of all, let's just start off with the main event, man. The switch up. How bad were you wanting to see this fight with Tony Ferguson?
You know how close that hits home. So you know I want to see that. Like, you know how close that hits. Like, I want to see the fight so bad. But I'm more upset that it ties up the division so bad when Max comes in and fights Khabib.
Like, especially if he wins.
Yeah, I swear. It ties up the whole – because Max and Kevin are, like, damn near best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, and it makes it so awkward to have them guys fight. And let's be real. Max is a 45er.
Yeah.
Max is in a 55er. Like, to be able to make the weight on 6 days' notice lets you know you're not really a 55er. But
– how do you see it shaping up, though?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, as much as I love Max, like, don't get me wrong, Max is one of my really good friends. I think he's in over his head. I think he's going to do really, really well the first two rounds. I honestly, I see it playing out like the Michael Johnson fight. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's going to be able to control Max as well as he did Michael Johnson. But Michael Johnson was tagging Khabib on the feet.
Let's play this game. Him. If I tell you, if I wake you up on Sunday, mm-hmm. you missed the fight, mm-hmm. and I go, hey, man, the fight ended in round five. Mm-hmm. Who won that fight?
Khabib.
If I tell you it ended in round one, who won?
Oh, Max.
All if I told you it ended in round three?
Khabib.
But you know what?
Yeah.
If you told me it ended in late round one, it could still be Khabib.
Yeah,
because Johnson
see that.
Was taking control early on.
Johnson was taking
and
damage.
And Khabib had to, like, you know, like a cartoon, shake it off. But eventually, when he got him down, remember he started.
But
the
Max
pain starts coming quick.
Yeah, but Max hits a lot harder than Michael Johnson. And Mac's not going to close his eyes and swing.
I mean, he, remember that knockout he had at Poirier? I guess it all depends. Yeah, when Johnson puts it on someone pretty good.
But Johnson got that speed. Terrified.
You know what happened to Johnson, in my opinion? Do you remember when he went to the Ultimate Fighter when he fought Brookins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About a fight or two later, this dude was floating. He was bouncing on his feet.
Yeah.
On the balls of his feet, like the way you're supposed to, in and out, darting in. But then when he got a little bit more entrenched with the Black Zillions, he became more stable and flat-footed. He wants to get that leg up and kick. Mm-hmm. And
that's not his style. You can tell. That's not his style at all.
You know, I mean, it's gotten him some wins.
Yeah.
But more than anything, just like guys that can switch the stances, mm-hmm. maybe he should switch between the two. You know what I mean?
I would agree, Jim.
Box a little bit more, flat-footed, and then kickbox when you need to.
Yeah.
Throw the other guy off, according to the matchup. But I remember he used to have good foot movement, and he was really, really difficult to tag.
But when he fought Khabib, he was ducking his head and throwing punches and still landing.
Yeah. He does start to windmill a little bit. Yeah. He did that against Diaz as well. Uh-huh. But early on, he was outpointing Diaz.
Yeah,
Diaz is a good boxer, It's just but he ran out of gas in that one.
Johnson breaks. Mac's not going to break. You're not going to break Mac. I think that's – Khabib relies on that, on breaking guys. And honestly, what I was most interested about the Tony fight, you're not breaking Tony. I don't give a damn what you do. You can bring a baseball bat into the cage. You're not breaking Tony. That I think Max has the same mentality. It's going to shape up to be a good fight. I just pray that he don't get taken down and held there.
Who did you have for Tony and Khabib? Just curious.
Tony.
Yeah, same
I had
here.
Tony. Same I thought he was going to be too scrambly. His will was going to be too strong. He was going to do bad in the first two rounds, as he always does.
Yep.
He gets destroyed the first two rounds and then comes back like a monster.
Yep.
You know what is scary, though, is not that Max won't break or give up or anything like that. For one, he's just not coming in optimal shape.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, what's the weight cut going to do to him?
Yeah.
But more than anything, if Khabib just goes in there and does what Khabib does, which is really crush people, steal their soul, what kind of a risk – or, no, that's not the word. How much will this impact – the UFC in terms of a champion that just took a lot of damage? You know what I mean? Yeah. All because of a business decision they made. Mm-hmm. Is it worth the risk of the potential of what Max Holloway could become? Because if Max Holloway beats Khabib, you might have a $750,000 or maybe $1 million pay-per-view star in your hands, because he'll be a dual weight champion.
Yeah.
Hawaii, you always want to come from a huge country or a portion of the country that just backs their fight, and Hawaii comes strong.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? So he would have so much that all of a sudden the UFC's roll of the dice will have paid off. But if he gets crushed, if he just gets submitted or it's just a tough loss, we'll call it, then maybe no big deal. But if he goes out there and just gets crushed, I wonder if the UFC would be like, what did we do?
You can win and get hurt too, right?
Yeah.
You can win and get hurt too.
What's the saying? Robbing Peter to pay Paul, and that's what's happening in the lightweight division right now at the top. That's what's happening with these interim titles. And if you keep introducing –
that's something I don't like about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep doing it at a certain extent, it's going to dilute it. Even if we have amazing people carrying the – which is often the case. The guys usually carrying the interim ones are usually the most talented ones of the division.
That's the scariest part.
The Robert Whittakers or the Ferguson for when for the time he carried it, apparently. But, it's
– All right, guys, let's take a quick break. I want to get the second break out of the way. We may have to reshuffle things. It could be that Joey comes on a little bit early. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Sirius XM Rush 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We'll figure it all out one way or another, like we always do.
Yeah, that's right. This cut goes out to all y'all that's been missing us for mad years.
Don't. They are the stretch marks on the underbelly of the MMA community. But hey, stretch marks are the new tat. They are gorgeous George and Goes.
Start your day with SiriusXM. Enable the SiriusXM skill. Great. On your Amazon device, and you'll wake up to the sounds of SiriusXM. Goes. It literally went away. Where is it?
You talking about Alexa, George?
Alexa, yeah. I just had it. Oh, there it is. You'll wake up to the sounds of SiriusXM. With SiriusXM and Alexa, you'll get the latest sports news each morning without picking up your phone or turning on the TV. Keith Lee, what would be a song to come back to? Have you already given one to Goes or not yet?
No, let me think about it, because you're not going to like my music. I don't listen to
but
rap.
But I'm open. I'm willing to try
it. Wait, what do you listen to?
I don't listen to rap. I listen to more like Erykah Badu, like relaxed music.
I'm down with that.
Good vibes, like chill vibes.
But I never said rap. Why are you kind of putting that on me?
because I got on buffs and a fucking pink shirt. I'm
okay,
black, bro.
All right.
Of course, I know what you assume. Exactly what you assume.
I didn't assume anything.
You should have assumed.
That's that weird pink, though, where it could be pink or it could have been white, but you washed it with red. Is that what happened?
Smart. No,
do you
it was
think
pink.
For lunch I'm going to have a taco or something? Or?
No, it was actually pink. Real pink. Right. Swear pink.
Keith Lee here in studio with
yes,
us.
Sir.
And our producer's letting us know if our first guest or our last guest is going to get shuffled in a little bit early or not. In the meantime, I'll take this quick call from Marco from Waco. Will I, Danny? What am I looking at?
No answer.
Okay. Marco from Waco. What's up, bud?
Marco from Waco. ¿Qué pasa, dudes?
¿Qué pasa, man?
Marco.
Hey, real quick, my Brown Carlos Condit is becoming the second most close fight in the history of the UFC, right behind Tony and Khabib, man. Isn't this the third time this fight fell through?
Mike Brown put out. Do you guys remember the stat Mike Brown put out for this year? Wasn't it like 9 co-main or main events have fallen through?
Mike already? Brown or Mike Bond? Bond?
Mike Bond. Mike Brown. Yeah. Mike Bond.
I know the main events is that UFC 220 is the only main event so far in 2018 that's held together. All the pay-per-view main events.
Yeah, this is not shaping
events.
Up to.
Oh wow!
Not being shaping up to be
really
bigger.
All of the pay all of the
pay-per-view main events.
Pay-per-view.
So not a lot of them.
221 was Australia. Yeah, that fell apart. 222 was Vegas. Yeah, that was a catastrophe. And now 223. Wow. Sucks, man. But isn't it nice to have a good card in Brooklyn that can, for one, they got themselves a backup in Max Holloway. But what about the rest of the card? It's good. It's got another title
solid.
Fight.
That's why
it's got other matchups. Exactly.
One of the best title fights on top of that.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for that fight.
Marco?
Yeah. Let me give you my fight team pilot real quick. I'll sign out.
Five teams? You ain't going to hit that shit. I'll book it.
Yeah, book it and don't tell me how much you will pay. I got a Felder over Aya Quinta.
Okay.
Give me a Kies over Perez.
All right.
Give me Renato Moicano over, I forgot the other kid's name.
Calvin Kattar.
Calvin Kattar.
Calvin Kattar, yeah. Give me Rose over JJ. And on the big, big upset, give me Max Holloway over Khabib.
George, you sure you want to book that?
No,
no,
I don't.
That doesn't sound too bad.
I trust Ed.
They're all winnable fights. They're all winnable fights.
The whole card is very – if you're ever going to do one of those parlays, those big ones, now's the time because a lot of these are like coin flip fights.
You know, I think I forgot to turn in my picks, so I may be stuck with all the underdogs anyway. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, those are all – they're not – are those all underdogs?
No,
Kies is the favorite.
Kies is not. Yeah,
Kies is the favorite. But Kies is strong, man. Kies is strong.
I don't know. I'm going with Pettis on that one.
Are you?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will not book you. Now, what it'll pay, I don't know. You'll have to give me some time. I'll pull up Parlay Calculator. There's a website called Parlay Calculator, and then you insert the odds that you see wherever you're playing legally, or just go to bestfightodds.com. They have all these different houses, and you can kind of get a good idea, and then you just put in what you would have bet, 20, 25, $5, $100, $1,000, whatever, and there you have it.
Okay, guys. Hey, enjoy Virginia. I did your trip with the troops. I guess you guys next week. Enjoy the fight, soon.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you.
Easy, Marco.
All right, so let's do this. Now's a good time for that street fight story.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
It was actually I think I was in 10th grade. Mind you, I've never been in a street fight before. I think I was in 2 street fights before this happened.
Earlier in the show, you said you were a troublemaker.
I was bad, but I was more bad towards the point where I was, like, smoking and, like, not going to school.
Okay.
And, like, I had a problem with authority. Like, I didn't like people telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. So, like, if
that
you told me
your
to
parents?
Do something. No, my
like,
parents.
Do your homework?
Cool. I never
clean
do my
Clean your
homework.
Room?
Never clean my room. Mm-hmm. My parents, eventually, they were just like, whatever, you do what you want. Mm-hmm. Like, it was to the point where I would go to class, and then people would tell me not to leave class, and I would literally leave class because you told me not to do it. I was that bad. But I never got into fights because I was maybe like 5 feet my freshman year. If
okay.
that. I was like 4'11 my freshman year, 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. So nobody really messed with me because I was like the small kid. So then,
would reverse psychology have worked? Stay home. Don't go to school.
Exactly. That would have worked
don't
so
give
much
us
better.
$20.
That would have worked so much better.
Don't cut the lawn.
That would have worked a
I'll
lot better.
I'll show you.
You better not wash my car while I'm gone. All right. So what happened in 10th grade?
So actually, Kevin's best friend, it was weird. He had a little brother that was the exact same age as me. So as soon as we both got to high school, we knew each other since we was like maybe like 10 or 11. So as soon as we got to high school, we were like best friends. Mm-hmm. So I was messing with this one girl. I forget like
what grade she was in, but I think she was a little younger than me. I was messing with this one girl. So I guess she had a boyfriend that was in another school, and I had no idea. So, like, he ended up coming up to the school and heard about me or heard that I was messing with her, and he heard I was a wrestler. So, of course, you know, guys that never do any street fighting or wrestling, they hear that, and they immediately, like, oh, well, you can't out-wrestle me or you can't beat me up, basically. So it was a Coney Island across the street. If you guys never had Coney Island, you're missing out on life, by the way. It was like a restaurant.
Coney Island?
Never heard of Coney Island?
No.
I know what really? A Coney Island dog is, though.
It's you
know
like that, but it's like Coney the Island entire Whitefish. Restaurant.
Jesus Don't get mad, Christ. But is it like Nathan's? Like, because they have the Coney Island dog?
It's kind of like Nathan's, but Nathan's is terrible in comparison okay. to a real Coney Island.
Okay.
So it's basically like just a little, like, kind of like a juke joint, like a restaurant. So it was across the street, and he was there. So, of course, me not being scared, I'm like, all right, we'll walk across the street. Me and my best friend walked across the street, and it was maybe like two guys sitting in front. And as soon as we start fighting, 10 guys poured out the Coney Island. Like, running, like completely sprinting out the Coney Island. And as I see these 10 guys, I'm already in front of one guy. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just grab this one dude, and whatever they do to me, I'm going to do it to him way worse. So while I'm getting dumped, and by the way, my best friend ran the entire time. Like, he's gone.
He wasn't a wrestler?
Oh, no, he left. Like, he was a wrestler, but he was more of a sprinter that day. He ran, like, and took off on me. So I'm, like, under, like, 10 guys, but I'm beating the shit out of this one guy that's under me.
So you took him down, and you're ground and pounding.
Oh, easy.
And then, like, these guys are, like, the shootbox team, Vanderlei and Shogun. They're just kicking you.
Kicking me in the back of the head, like, kicking me in the stomach. And, like, while I'm doing it, I grab the guys in the rear naked choke, and I'm like, if you don't stop hitting me, I'm going to put him to sleep. And I'm, like, fucking squeezing him. And by the time I even let him go, his mom ran out of the Coney Island. Because this is after school, so his parents, of course, were all kids. All their parents were with him. So his parents ran out of the Coney Island and was like, y'all better go. Y'all better leave. And me and my best friend ran across the street back to the school. I didn't know these guys were following us the whole time. So by the time we got back into school, it was maybe like 12, 14 guys behind me. And my best friend saw him before I did. And I had this brand new cardigan on. Like, I was, like, fresh to death in high school. Mm-hmm. So I was all about, like, appearance and, like, being fresh. So I had this brand new cardigan on. And after I put it back on after the fight, I was like, I'm not fighting no more because I'm not messing my shirt up. Mm-hmm. So I went to walk, and as I turned around, they fucking hit my best friend directly in the face, like, without anybody noticing. By the time I even noticed, I had to
take my cardigan. You guys were walking.
We were walking.
And 12 guys just snuck up on you?
So 12 guys were behind us, but they were, like, so loud to the point where I was just like, let's just keep walking. I was like, we'll just ignore them. By the time we get into school, I'm like, it's security in the school. It's still teachers. Like, they're not going to do nothing in the school. Mm-hmm. So they're, like, right here. We're all the way in front. So by the time we got into school, two of them managed to sneak up behind us.
They just creeped
and
up.
And then they creeped up because I'm, like, maybe, like, right here. My best friend's here. Yeah. So they creeped up on him first. And they hit him, and by the time they hit him, I'm like, okay, now I got to help him. But I got to take my cardigan off first. Uh-huh. So I'm unbuttoning my cardigan. The whole time I'm unbuttoning, they're beating the shit out of him. And I was like, you shouldn't have ran. That's your fault. And then the security came. And then, like, they talked about me for weeks after that because they ran back the security tape, and all you see is him getting beat up and me just, like, freaking taking my cardigan off super slow, like, making sure I didn't mess my shirt up. I was there. He was so mad at me. He didn't talk to me for, like, maybe, like, 3 weeks.
Your but friend, payback he ran was a bitch.
I told her. I said the same thing. I'm like, you ran first. But it made it worse because my like, being scared was on camera. So, like, he didn't get caught running on camera.
Did you get – were you kind of a chump, according to the kids at school?
Yeah. Yeah, they talked about me for a little bit.
But and it was to the one actual on 12.
They hear
it was
this one earlier.
I was getting beat up. I was like, what did you expect me
did
to do?
Did they hear,
like,
the story about what happened at Coney Island, though?
We kids. Nobody believed me unless we got it on video. So nobody believed what I was saying. They was like, well, you really, like, choked one guy out while they was beating you up.
Did that all get squashed there, or was there another story later?
Actually, they ended up beating him up again, and then they never saw me again. And then me and him, we, like, stopped being friends maybe, like, 2 months after that. Because he was like, oh, you keep, like, I wasn't even with him the next time he got beat up. So I was like, how you going to blame me? That's not my fault. And then did he get
beat up because you messed with that other girl?
I don't know. What he got beat up for? I think he just got beat up because they wasn't done with him before the last time. Mm-hmm.
You're not friends right now?
No, we don't talk. Mm-hmm. I think it's because of that. We don't talk no more.
But he has to understand that he left you, right?
Yeah, he left me first.
Did he at least address that?
Never.
Like, he didn't go, oh, shit, you're right. Nothing.
Never. He was just always mad at me for taking my cardigan off slow. Always. Always.
Hey, did you really take it off slow, or did it just slip that way?
Oh, no,
so you were doing it on purpose.
Oh, very, very deliberate.
You're stretching.
I'm like, oh,
shit.
It's 12 dudes. I'm like, I'm not about to. I just fought. I'm like, I'm about to fight again. Like, I was literally just, like, looking up. Every time I would look up, it was another button that had to be done. Like, I was like, security got to
come. How were you
eventually.
So sure that... That six may not go, us six will stay here, and the other six will
That's why I was hoping. That's why I was like, I'm going to just stay over here because there's no point to run over there. He already getting beat up. Both of us getting beat up.
What was the distance? Where's your buddy?
My buddy's probably like where that pole is in the corner.
So wow, he's like over six there. Guys could cover a lot of ground.
They could. That's why I'm saying where I'm at.
I think it's either go in there and fight or get the hell out of Dodge. I don't know about this whole cardigan thing.
I really didn't want to mess my cardigan up. That's what it was.
All right, that's a cool story, man. Thanks for sharing that. The first hour is up, folks. We still got an hour to go. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Sirius XM Rush 93. We are going to be talking to John Anik, the play-by-play man for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We'll talk more about UFC 223. We'll still give you some more of our predictions. We'll pick Keith's brain about the fight card as well, because it sounds like he watches a lot of these fights, he has a good idea of what might be going on. And, of course, we'll see what is next for Keith Lee. So stay close, folks, and don't go anywhere. More. I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need. Guys, your bathroom called. It's time to give it the cleaning it deserves. Get rid of all the junk that's lying around. Freshen it up with high-quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Members like us, we get everything we need for the morning routine delivered right to your door.
DollarShaveClub.com. They deliver everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Dollar Shave Club is more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look and smell and feel at your best and give you a baby face like me, George. Check me out.
I'm digging it, goes. The Dollar Shave Club is better than shopping in the store, and it delivers everything to you. You don't have to set foot in the store, wandering the aisles hunting for razors, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, none of it. Clean up your bathroom and your morning routine.
Join Dollar Shave Club today, and just for $5 with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, one wipe Charlie's.
Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month.
Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie. Text me a song you want.
That's all.
Or text me whatever song you like.
Not this shit. This shit gives me a headache.
All right, it's the second hour of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. That song comes courtesy of Keith Lee. Bringing it strong. He said, watch this, man. I'm going old school.
That was terrible.
I'm
my
just kidding.
Blood is boiling, George, by the minute of the show. Yeah. Now he doesn't like Wendy's.
He's just making enemies left and right. Under his skin.
Yeah.
I was ready to pounce on him because he goes, I told him, man, what do you like? And I was ready to just say, that's bullshit, right? Just to push him back.
Hey, I'm
and he goes, well, in and out. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm like a professional. I'm not a dodge questions.
Yeah, I suppose, but Wendy's, they have this thing called the Baconator that's actually not bad. I had it after many years after Johnny Hendricks put me onto it. I finally succumbed and had it, and I was like, wow, that really is a beast. So he just doesn't like the texture of the meat, he said.
The only thing fast food I can eat, like super fast food, is McDonald's nuggets.
Chicken nuggets? Yeah. How many can you eat in one sitting if you had to?
If I had to?
Yeah.
Probably like 30.
I've done the 50 before.
You have done 50?
I've done the 50.
If I'm super hungry, I can do 50.
One of our listeners ate 47 and then would not do the last three.
I don't think you have to do the last three.
I think 20 would be enough.
He said he couldn't. He said he would just
My
up.
Sister watched me. She's I like, think I, could she's do like I literally saw your cheeks expand from the sodium for that whole journey.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was Thanksgiving, too. And for whatever reason, the McDonald's
you
was
up. You did that on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
You hate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hate Thanksgiving. So I was like,
why do you hate Thanksgiving?
The most non-Thanksgiving food. A bunch of stuff. But I had to be a rebel. And like, I didn't even like McDonald's at the time. But I'm like, it's just the most non-Thanksgiving thing. I'm going to eat it. Mm-hmm. I went and ate 50 nuggets. They had like a deal. It was like $10 or something. It was like some stupid promotion they had. I'm like, I'm going to do this.
Right now, our Thanksgiving is based in California for the most part.
Okay.
But if it ever relocates to Vegas where our family's coming this way.
Chicken nuggets?
You're going to have to. We'll invite you. And we'll see if we can change your mind about Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving is all about tons of food, family and friends. But even if you hate your family and friends, okay, tons of food and football. That is one interesting 1-2 punch, right?
Right, yeah.
And there's football all day, and That one's a tough one to hate, man. I always love Thanksgiving.
You pour gravy on anything, and I'm good. So,
and you know what even else is good? That Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Jesus. You talking about texture of meat?
You got to watch what you say, right?
He talked about texture of meat. He got away free. I left that alone.
I never like Thanksgiving unless the desserts are there.
Really?
Desserts are my – oh, man.
So you don't like turkey and stuffing?
We always do fried turkey. We either do fried turkey or turkey.
I never had either of those, but those both sound good.
What about the fixins and all that? You like all that?
I can do like maybe like cranberry sauce. That's probably the only thing I eat. Cranberry sauce and macaroni and cheese. I can only do my parents' macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. I don't eat nobody else's macaroni and cheese. I'm super picky. I don't like my food touching. Like I'm like one of those guys. Like I'm super picky.
Do you eat one thing at a time?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, you do?
He's fascinating.
I'm like one of those guys.
He is a little fascinating, huh? Like, I can't tell if he's a pain in the ass or if he's fascinating. But I'm leaning more towards fascinating because I'm sitting here like this. I'm like,
I like that.
That is fascinating.
You know, he's like a koala. He's fun to watch, but he could fuck you up. Because koalas are, like, cute and cuddly. But
hey, that might be my nickname. I've been looking for a
koala,
nickname.
Dude.
Are you just 35 or can you do 25?
I can't do 25 no more.
No.
Like I did it maybe what, 3 times, and then the last time I ended up stepping into the cage at 56, I think I was.
Oh shit.
I was huge. Like my neck was big, my stomach was bloated, like I could barely walk. Like good thing I got the fight over in the first round, cuz if it would have went to the second, I would have been done.
Yeah.
Like I was exhausted. Like I was in dog shape.
Wow.
And that cut, I think I started the cut the night before from 44, 43.
Mm-hmm.
I was 43 the night before weigh-ins, cut all the way down to 26. And at weigh-ins, I was laying across like 4 chairs because my like organs were shutting down. Like I couldn't breathe. Like it was hard to see. It was bad.
Wow,
I get it.
That's
like, right
serious
now,
stuff. And you're young Keith Lee. I mean,
that's
something that happens when you hit your 30s.
Yeah.
And wow, I did it 40 times through high school.
Yeah. No, it was bad.
My body, what do they always say? My body shut down on me,
yeah.
You know? But a young guy should not be going through
but
that.
But I cut a lot of weight in high school too, and I did it the horrible way. Like in high school, I never drunk water. Like I never, like literally, you can ask my brother this, is no joke. I went 2 weeks on 1 jar of applesauce during the middle of wrestling season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't drink any water. I wouldn't eat anything. I would just eat applesauce. Like,
how big was the jar?
It was maybe, like, this big.
For the whole week?
For the whole week. Just
Holy
eat.
Shit.
And it was the worst thing because, like I said, I got a consistency problem. So it was the worst thing. I would have to plug my nose and just swallow it. Oh, it was fucking the worst.
Wow.
It was the dumbest thing. I didn't know how to cut weight. Nobody in my school knew how to cut weight. So, like,
what about your big brother?
He was in college.
But, I mean, an email or a phone call?
We never – I was such a knucklehead, he never talked to me until maybe until I moved out here, actually. Until we moved out here, we never really talked. Like, of course, we lived together. So he would always be in his room downstairs, and I would be upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we never, like, really – like, and especially when he went to college, never – he talked to my little brother way more than he talked to me.
You know,
could you ask your little brother to ask him?
I was,
hey, man, I gotta lose weight.
I thought I knew what I was doing. Like, I swear I thought I knew what I was doing. Until I got into
you know what,
like,
man?
Fighting.
Hey, you're fascinating now. You're really cool. But you were a little shit at one point.
Oh, yeah, and then some. Oh, I thought I was a shit when I was high school. I swear I did. That is
no
joke.
Oh, man, I mean, I don't know. Kevin seems, like, really chill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now, I'm waiting. Like, if he should be talking, and I should be going, yeah, Kevin is a dick, you know? Like,
yeah.
But he's so cool that I'm like, it's got to be this guy. He's fascinating. Now, he's one of the few guys that says hi to me at the gym. He's really cool.
Real.
We always talk
right.
And everything. So I think just 5 years ago, you were just
I was an asshole.
Okay.
Yeah.
But at least you admit it.
Yeah, he does
that.
That makes him even more fascinating.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
but, you know, people didn't hear this because he said it during the break. But just so you know how big of the sacrifice the applesauce was,
right.
He said that if he can eat it without teeth, he doesn't want to eat it, right?
Anything
so that's like
mushy,
the worst thing you
it was
eat.
The worst.
Yeah.
I literally had to
What's
plug my nose and just throw it back.
If you don't have teeth, what
if
is
you
it
can eat it without teeth, I don't want it. Like if it's served in a retirement home, I don't want it. Like
what about mashed potatoes?
Can't do it. It has to have like chunks of like potatoes.
Scallop potatoes.
Yeah, it has to have chunks of it. Like I can't do like mashed potatoes. I can't do porridge, grits,
so no smoothies, nothing like that.
I can do
porridge.
Smooth. I can
what are you,
drink.
A little bear?
I can't do none of that. Like grits. Oh man, even seeing grits make me want to throw up.
If he says that in line of Joey Diaz that I can't eat anything you can't eat without teeth, I think Joey Diaz has something funny to say back to him. I'll just say that.
Have you ever heard of Joey Diaz, the comedian?
Yeah, of course.
Is he funny or?
Joey's up there.
Okay.
He's maybe like top 5 comedians of mine.
All right.
Yeah,
all
he's
right.
funny.
Because it seems like we don't like the same things. That's what I thought he was going to say, nah, he sucks.
No,
terrible.
He's hilarious. I watch the Joe Rogan podcast all the time.
All right.
Like literally, as soon as we wake up, that's the only thing he's playing in the house.
Let's do the daily debate, guys. How about now's a good time, right? Because we do have UFC 223. The guys covered their predictions for the main card early on in that first hour when I had to step away. And this will kind of go hand in hand with what we want to do here for the co-main event. So the question for today is, Rose Namajunas shocked the world when she TKO'd Joanna Jędrzejczyk in their first meeting. Mm-hmm. So for today's daily debate poll question, what outcome do you predict for the UFC 223 rematch? Now, these are going to be exact answers. Namajunas by stoppage. Jędrzejczyk by stoppage. That means sub or TKO. Namajunas by decision or Jędrzejczyk by decision. Let's start off with Dan.
Doesn't matter what round of stoppage is in.
Doesn't matter what round.
Since my breakdown has Namajunas by stoppage, I mean, that's obviously where I side with it. I think that, you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk can go out and show why she was favored so strongly the first time, and none of us should be surprised. But I think that the previously established striking threats from the first fight are going to play into this one. And I think another factor we didn't get to see is Rose's improved wrestling and grappling. And I think those two factors on the feet and on the floor, it's going to make an environment that I see being an uphill battle for Jędrzejczyk, let's just say that. And I think it's going to produce a scenario where Rose can find a finish.
What round do you think this could happen? Will it take a while, or
I'm gonna go and say second round, because once Jędrzejczyk gets going, we see it. She's like a train on the tracks. Even if she's been dropped, if she's allowed to get in those later rounds and find a rhythm, she'll take it.
Okay, goes.
I think Mike Brown is a mad scientist, and I think he's looked over the tape. I think he's figured out a way to kind of calm Joanna a little bit. I think she's gonna be calm in the beginning, pick her shots, and start to frustrate Rose. I'm gonna go with the stoppage. Do I have to get the round?
No.
I'm gonna go with stoppage, Joanna.
What round? Just kidding. How about you, Keith Lee?
I would completely disagree with you, and I would agree with you. I'll go decision by Joanna.
We're in trouble because I'm always wrong and he's always right.
Oh, man. I just think that she's going to, like you were saying, Brown, he's a genius. I feel like, and Joanna has so much experience in the cage. I feel like when it comes to crunch time, she's going to be so much more smarter than she was last time. I think what really killed her last time is that Rose controlled the distance so well that she's never seen that before in Octagon. Like, that distance control that she had was amazing. I think Joanna's going to expect that and not get flustered. Like, she got really flustered the first time it happened. I don't think it's going to happen again. I think when she gets her rhythm, she's going to keep it into the later rounds. And I don't think Rose going to be able to keep up with her.
You know what sucks is what I'm about to tell you now is different from what I turned in. I've been back and forth on this fight so many times that I can't even keep up with all my lies. You're going to see something on Junkie. You're going to hear something on Monday's show. You're going to hear something from 2 months ago. But right now, after hearing all everything you guys got to say, I'm back on Rose, believe it or not. Because Joanna, again, it goes back to her demeanor and what I've heard from her. Mm-hmm. It's something about her not accepting that Rose is a good enough fighter.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you see Joanna hit the pads or even throw those knees, she's brutal. I mean, she's got amazing speed and power. Yeah. It's amazing. You just wonder how anyone in the lightweight division can keep up with her, especially after smoking Gadelha and Kovalevich and Andrade, you know, where I thought were superior fighters to Rose. And then all of a sudden, fight over.
I actually rolled with Joanna a couple of times. Top five best fighters I've ever rolled with.
Really?
Not even girls.
Now he's making me switch
dudes.
Again. But you know what? I think my gut feeling after hearing you guys and still all the input I know I have is I think Rose is going to find a way because Trevor Whitman is also pretty brilliant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would
agree
with that.
And not to mention that if she can just put her down, if Rose is quick enough to pounce on her, Rose is a nightmare on the ground.
Yes, she is.
Not that Joanna can't get up or hasn't gotten up because she has. I just think Rose just seems to be up here so strong. So anything you've heard up until Wednesday – April 4th at sometime around 11:10 a.m. has me all over the place. I'm going with Rose. I think Rose actually gets the finish as well. There's our daily debate, including Keith Lee, MMA fighter. And that's it.
Hey, did you see Mike Brown in embedded fall on the –
Joanna was begging for them to keep it. Like, you got to have it. You got to have it.
That was awesome.
Now, you know what? We could talk a little bit more about it now because when we do our daily debate, you know, we constrain ourselves to a certain amount of time. But the fight really is fascinating in a way because there's so many things that can happen. But
I think Joanna's grappling is way underestimated.
If we had this debate tomorrow,
it's way underestimated.
And I just want to see how she reacts with them. I want to see how she's taking it. If she's a little bit more like, all right, it's a fight, keep it composed, I may switch back to Joanna.
Yeah.
But it seems like Rose is doing what a champion does. And she's just so calm, man. And those are the scary ones.
It's going to come down to the adjustments that you guys said. I mean, I'm not selling on it, obviously, with my pick because of your reason, George. But but Keith nailed it. You know, it was that distance. And when I went back to watch it, what impressed me, the reason why is the distance, because her feints were so
awesome. Her feints were amazing.
It was so beautiful.
A lot of people don't and take that into MMA. Feints are my great Fallis. You guys know Robert Fallis.
Yeah, absolutely.
The late coach, Robert Fallis. He would be so adamant about feints and then really head fainting guys and making them think something coming before it's coming that a lot of guys in MMA don't notice that. And it makes such a, like, it's this little, but it makes, like, this big of a difference. Like, when she was throwing those face to Joanna, Joanna had no idea what was coming. And by the time it came, it was too late.
Yeah, huge. It wasn't even just that the feint, you know, oh, well, it's going to get a reaction. Yeah, sure. Yeah. It drew out the parry, which led to the left hook. But also what you said, it actually plays a distance.
Yeah.
It plays to so many different things. And I think
it's the punches
you nailed
you can't
that. Yeah.
see that hurt the worst.
Yeah, and I also think that you, to your point as well, you and Jacek's grappling is underrated, even though I give, you know, Rose the edge there as far as finishing.
I give it to her too, but
it's one of the, you and Jacek does things that, like, I'm sure you as a wrestler can appreciate. I think the single leg getup is so underused in MMA.
It's so underused.
And Fallis was a big guy on this too, you know, as the intricacies of it, you know, keeping the underhook low to avoid the Darsen guillotine counters, and just so high percentage. You see Joanna, anytime she's been to the ground, it's never lasted long. She goes for that single leg getup, and then she separates, and she's back to her game. She's back to her game.
I think those feints that you guys were talking about, I always tell people it'd be like playing poker with people, and for a second you do something that makes them show you their cards really quick and then run back.
100%.
What I was thinking was, even if you just compare it to other sports, because this is a sport that grew up in front of my own eyes, you know, and think about a wide receiver that's running and fakes this way and then goes this way, and then that guy all of a sudden, the cornerback is thrown off and has to, you know, hopefully have enough closing speed because the ball's already in the air. Or even in basketball, you'll go like this, someone fakes the pass, and then boom, all of a sudden a new play is created. Everyone's confused. Yeah, I mean, that's why people trip over their feet, because they were not expecting that.
It's
so I like switch guys. I like guys that can switch stance. I like guys that can that do throw fades. I love it when wrestlers, even if they've fallen in love with their hands, even if they have the stats to back it up, still at some point implement some form of wrestling early on. Just
like
to let the other guy know, I have not forgotten where I came from.
It sounds like you're in love with me. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You just describe my style to a T.
Yes, because, you know, how many times have you ever seen a wrestler go in there and, like, two rounds in, they haven't even attempted a takedown
or a feint? They wrestle.
And next thing you know, they're doing this and they get knocked out. And I'm like, wow, when I did the breakdown, I gave you the biggest check mark there that I could give you because of the wrestling, and yet you didn't bring that to the table or, you know.
Well, personally, coming from, like, a wrestling background, I can see how hard it is. How easy it is to get trapped into that. Because when you get in there and you, like, just start throwing hands and you know that you just got good at it, it's so hard not to want to put on a show. Like, a lot of people, like, don't want to get into that, oh, just hugging, grappling, or, like, just taking them down, because you know you can take the guy down. So it's hard not to get into that, okay, I'm going to stand up and knock you out.
Mm-hmm. See that.
I've been there a couple times in practice. I've never done it in the fight yet, but I've been there a couple times in practice.
Do you ever bet on the fights?
I bet a lot.
Do you guys ever do live betting?
On other sports, I can't it's not legal in Nevada to do live.
If they were to do that, I think you could clean house, because there's so many. We're talking about the feints, right?
Yeah.
Or,
and you can
or wrestlers,
see it
the shots,
yeah.
and just seeing people's reactions in round one. There's so many fights that all you need are like 30, 40 seconds
to
really
see
know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you have Edson Barbosa and he throws a feint, that leg kick, and that guy doesn't check it, he doesn't move.
You
start putting your
night.
Mind. You know what's going
on. How about if you haven't finished Elkins, like, through like a round and a half?
Yeah,
you know, you're like,
exactly.
What's Elkins at now?
Hey, it's the same way with Max. If you don't finish Max early and he gets his ball rolling, it's gonna be scary.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Like, some of the best underdog picks and stuff, I always bring this guy up. But Brian Barberina, he's one of those guys. You always want those slow grinding guys. Where that's one of my favorite dog picks, where you give me a slow grinding guy, and you give me a guy who's hype and he's got the highlight reel stuff, but he's never been out of the first round regionally or top level. I'm like, time to get tested, because this game audits everybody, baby.
Honestly, I think that every time I go into a fight, that's the first thing I ever think about when I'm watching film. I can break this guy. Like, if I'm like, if he doesn't make it out the, like, you could throw all the spinning shit you want, all the flying knees, flying elbows. If you're not making it out the first round, or you've never been tested in the fight, I'm gonna break you.
And 100%. And then from the live betting standpoint, if you can view a matchup like that, or at least you think you are viewing a matchup, that's your opportunity to go, okay, I'm gonna wait till after the first round, and if that guy survives, you know you're going to get some mean plus money. Or if the guy was already a dog, then he's going to be even a bigger dog. If he's a plus 200-300, you might be getting like plus 400-500 live bet odds. Throw your 20 down there.
I heard it's not as easy. It's only a couple places, I think, you're either European-based or Costa Rican-based. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's hundreds of houses, but only a few of them allow it. I've heard some people do well at it. But who knows? All right, we got to take this break. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM Rush 93. Stay close, and we will be right back. We'll be talking to UFC play-by-play man John Anik.
The song I sent you, just to piss you off.
It sounds like it was a remix at the beginning.
Yeah, literally, just to get under all your skin. The only reason I'll be.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. You. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it.
No sleep till.
Hey, idiot. Yeah, you. Can you please tap that rather large fellow on the shoulder and tell him it's time for more MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goes? Thank you.
Fantasy baseball season has begun. SiriusXM Sports Radio is helping you win. Listen to the best fantasy baseball analysts tell you which players you need to have in your lineup and hear live scoring updates so you can track your team's performance. If you play fantasy baseball, you need to listen to SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210, XM87, and on the SiriusXM app. Do that by searching Fantasy Sports. Now, you see why I'm pissed off right now?
No,
that read, talk about I fumbled it like in the beginning, right?
Oh, okay.
I said began instead of begun, and I put a lot of pressure on myself. And the reason is because we have a broadcasting pro, I mean top of the food chain right now on hold, and I rarely see him fumble the ball, you know? So I thought, okay, I'm going to match this guy. Even if I'm not the best interviewer out there or, you know, fight breaker danner or whatever, or analyst, the one thing I'm going to do is deliver this read. Halfway through, I read it. I go, I'm already falling apart.
Nah, anyway. Here's what you got to do. It'd be like if you got to play horse with Michael Jordan. You want to hope
just
he maybe
get
gets the hoe or something, you know? Like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Don't shoot for trying
shoot
to beat
like
him.
A hook shot.
He's
from
too
the
good.
Point line
yeah.
And say, that's my specialty, MJ. Hope it hits.
Mm-hmm. And here, and the thing about John Anik is, like, picture Michael Jordan every night. They tell him, all right, tonight you're playing with Scottie Pippen. Tonight you're playing with someone else. Like, he has no idea. They've told him at the last second who he's getting that week of or whatever, and he still delivers 40 points.
He gets the dream team this week, though, at UFC 223. What's up, John Anik? How you doing?
Oh, it's good to be with you guys. Y'all are crazy, though. George, that's when I'm fumbling, I'm telling you. It's when you're not in the room. That's when I'm making my mistakes. You're crazy.
I haven't seen any, man. You're it. You know what I mean? You're the guy. I know we always circle back to this one way or another, but like 2 years ago, Dana White said, I got this team, and I don't know if he just forgot about the team or who it was. It doesn't matter. He got his guy. It was you. You're almost like Kyle Kuzma for the Lakers. You know, you weren't the number one guy. We didn't hold up the jersey or anything like that. We got you late, but we got the best guy in the draft, and you're that guy right now, man.
Hey, I appreciate you saying it. Sometimes you just got to stick around, you know, just hang around long enough. And eventually you spend 11 years in the minor leagues, you're forever the bridesmaid, and maybe you get a crack. But, you know, it's not like they've come out publicly and said anything about me. So, you know, as much as I am privileged right now to sort of be the lead voice of the UFC, and I guess in some respect the sport, I might not be in a few weeks, you know, and that is the way I approach it. I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing that. And I think I get way too much credit for my ability to work with all these guys. These analysts, and you guys know they're on your show all the time, these guys can compete with any analysts in any sport. And I think it's about time that nationally they start to get that credit.
Well, see, here's the thing, John. We do talk to them a lot. We talk to them on the air and off the air. And many times when we circle back to your name, they say that guy's a competent professional. I love working with John Anik. And now we have a few years under our belt of hearing that. And so that's why I'm passing that on to you because, you know, that kind of praise when it comes from your colleagues, I think it's outstanding. And I hear a lot of people say it. So, again, passing that on to you. Great job you're doing there with the UFC. And I can't wait to see your call with yet another team, Jimmy Smith, Joe Rogan, at UFC 223. So far, the best card of the year.
Yeah, we can't wait to be there. And honestly, not too much of the shine is lost on this fight card for us now that we've had 48 hours or so to wrap our heads around this new reality. You know, it's amazing how excited we were for UFC 220 in Boston in January, and yet this feels twice as big as that for whatever reason. I think part of it is because they let the schedule breathe a little bit. We've been idle the last two weekends, and people are jonesing for a UFC show. Happy to see Jimmy get, you know, the big show and to get a chance to work with his good buddy Joe Rogan. Jimmy and I obviously go way back to probably 2010, so we're excited to see what we can do and, you know, try to add to these fights, obviously, in whatever way we can.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to go back to Sunday, Easter Sunday. I'm not sure if that's the day I saw you rocking the Red Sox gear, taking the Twins to the baseball game, or when that happened. But I on Sunday, we got the news, Ferguson out, Holloway in. How'd you take that, man, just as a fan, not as a broadcaster?
I did not take it well, man. And the thing is, from a live production standpoint, we have a full week to get our ducks in a row. This is not UFC 213 with Amanda Nunes pulling out the day of the fight. So it was the fan reaction. And, dude, it hit me like a bag of rocks. Like, I bowed out of bedtime with my kids for a little bit. And I don't know, man. I all but guaranteed this fight was going to happen this fourth time. And I thought all but, a freak accident or some injury that was just so debilitating. And this fight was going down. And sure enough, somehow that freak accident happened, because you sort of felt like if there was an MCL strain or a broken hand even, these guys were still going to fight if they were 65%, because they hadn't fought those three times prior. So
right.
I don't know, man. As soon as I heard Dana White utter, "This is not an April Fool's joke," he wasn't going to mess around with the MMA masses, especially when it came to this fight. I just can't even believe it, man. But it is what it is. And, you know, I'm sort of with Dana at this point. I don't know that making that fight a fifth time is all that appetizing for me. I just felt so defeated by, you know, the news on April 1st.
I thought, if anything, it would have been like what happened to Mike Brown as he was going up that escalator on Embedded. Maybe something like that, where it's just so random. But, doing media, not even training, doing media. I don't know how dark it is over there at the Fox studios. You've been there plenty of times, but is it a haunted house, or are there just wires everywhere?
Yeah, I don't even know what to tell you. I mean, yes, like, I've tripped on wires before, and, you know, I'm pretty clumsy. I fell in my pool with all my clothes on a few days ago, but I don't know.
Oh, come on.
He did a quick turn. I can't even believe I did it, but I did it. So I don't know if he did a quick turn because he saw Christine Leahy, Colin Cowherd's co-host, and down the eyes. I don't know. But I just can't even believe it. And I have so much respect for both of these guys, but certainly for Tony and for his winning streak and all he's accomplished as a 155-pounder. And I don't necessarily think he gets the credit for that. And I got to think he was brought to tears to not be able to make this walk, you know, getting a moment with himself and his wife and his son. I think he was probably crying about this.
Show of hands, who here on the panel wants to hear about John falling in the pool?
I do.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions. All right, so John, did you have a cell phone? How did you? Because back in the day when we were kids, you fall in the pool. Ha ha ha. He he. Right now we got iWatches, we got cell phones, iPads, any
wallets.
Of that.
So I had my wallet in my pants, which was not a good look. But I was sober, man. I did not have the cell phone in the pants. Thankfully, when you have young kids, you try not to always present them this visual of you with the cell phone in the hand. So oftentimes my cell phone is on the counter. Thankfully that's where it was. But I don't know, man, we had guests at the house and I'm like showing them the pool and not even showing off. I had my back to the pool. The next thing you know, head to toe, wallet, just swimming in clothes, man. What are you going to do? Just
man, that ain't a good response. Hang on a second.
That's even
give
worse.
Us more detail. You don't just stumble into a pool, John. What were you
doing?
With
guests there. That's even worse.
I
don't even know. I mean, I was not stoned. I don't even know what to tell you. I don't know if I was dehydrated.
He just walks into a pool.
I'm almost 40. You know, I don't know if you can chalk it up to old age yet, but a forgettable moment for sure.
It's not like they just installed the pool yesterday. Like, he's known it's there.
No,
well,
that's
hey, not, all right, I'll give
he's hiding something.
So we get a lot of hurricanes down here. We get a lot of hurricanes, so the baby gate wasn't around the pool. So the baby gate wasn't there to save me because we took it inside because of the hurricane warning last November. My lazy ass hasn't put it back out there. I need a baby more than my children, I think, is what it
okay, all right. So it was like the warning track. He didn't have that feel of, like, the footing, you know what I mean?
Kind of. But if somebody took the door off of your car, you wouldn't just roll out, right? Like, you're just kind of used to boundaries.
Oh, man.
Hey, he took it like a man. He gave me the response. All right. John, everyone's going to talk about the big fights, but in doing your research, is there any two fighters that you talked to this week already that have really, really, like, raised your interest and awareness in their particular fight that we all might be missing?
Well, you're probably not missing Zabit Magomedov. He's a guy who a lot of people fancy as a future contender, if not UFC champion. I know his chief corner, Mark Henry, certainly fancies him as a future UFC champion. And, you know, sometimes I'll ask people like that, and he's a minus 900 favorite this weekend, so there is certainly a lot of hype behind him. But I'll ask him, you know, hey, if you had to fight the champion in your division, Max Holloway, this weekend, how would that go? And granted, we're doing this through an interpreter, but he's like, look, man, I'm training with Frankie Edgar and Edson Barboza and these giants of MMA. I've been a martial artist for 15 years. I'm ready to fight Max Holloway this weekend. I'd rather not be fighting Kyle Bochniak. So his confidence sort of jumped off the phone for me. And, you know, I think it's also going to be interesting to see Paul Felder and Ally Aquinta, because I think Paul was a little bit surprised to be installed as a betting underdog here. I don't know that the odds makers have necessarily given him the credit for his recent body of work. I think when you look at Al, certainly 8 of 9 is a pretty amazing thing, but he's fought just once since 2015. So I think Paul Felder is confident and a man on a mission, so that sort of was a takeaway for me. But it's always a treat. You know, I got to talk to Khabib on Tuesday as well, and for him, the goal is unchanged. He was just a little bit surprised because the 55ers were the guys on his radar. So Max Holloway wasn't really a guy on his radar. Maybe he thought they'd pull a guy like Dustin Poirier or even one of the lightweights on this card. But I think he was sort of struck by the Holloway booking as well. So that was an interesting takeaway for me talking to Khabib yesterday.
John, I don't know if Dana ever tells the executives, hey, let me do all the talking, but I'm going to try here. Who would you have put in if you had to make the call in terms of, would you have kept the 55er? Do you like the call? Or Poirier, another name?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, for Dustin Poirier, that moves up his training to the point where his peak week all of a sudden becomes weight-cutting week, so I'm not sure that that's ideal. I don't know that you want to break apart the Fox UFC Fight Night main event. Conor McGregor, I'm not sure, was going to be an option from a promotional standpoint or a weight-cutting standpoint. So I think they did about as well as they could, all things considered. The one thing that's sitting here on Wednesday I can't tell you is the physical condition of Max Holloway, and I will get some time with him later this week. He has the perfect attitude to navigate a situation like this. And I do believe he goes in there feeling like he has a great chance to win. I think the question for me is, if he had 8 weeks to prepare for Khabib Nurmagomedov, what type of chance does he give himself versus the physical condition that he's in right now? So there are a lot of unknowns for Max. But let's also not forget, Brian Ortega stepped up and took this fight, and seemingly one or two others might have as well. So if you're Max Holloway, there's certainly a financial gain here. You can set up a McGregor fight and win. But if you don't take this fight, T-City gets it, and then potentially the world is his oyster. So it's not ideal to have to take on this monster on 6 days' notice, but far be it for me to sit here and doubt what Max Holloway is going to be able to do with the opportunity.
John Anik, UFC play-by-play voice, on the phone here with us. We're talking about UFC 223. I've been hogging up the stage. My co-hosts want to ask you a question. We'll start off with Dan Tom, our fight analyst. What do you have for John Anik?
Hey, John, speaking of betting lines that are maybe potentially off depending on your perspective, how about Ray Borg versus Brandon Moreno? I don't maybe necessarily disagree with Borg being the favorite, but that seems like a fight that's maybe a little closer than the odds give. That seems like it's going to be a fun one. What do you think?
Hey, Dan, good to be with you. Yeah, I think for me that was the one that sort of jumped out at me when I first got the look of the lines. And an exercise that I try to do when I get a fight card is I'll try to sort of pencil in where I think the number is going to be before I actually take a look at it. And I thought Ray Borg would have been minus 180 and not minus 280. Certainly, I think a guy who has recently fought for the title, and given the fact that he was able to extend to Demetrius Johnson, I think it's something that odds makers pay attention to. And, you know, they're both young guys, but maybe Moreno's youth being held against him a little bit. Obviously, he had the Pettis fight, which did not go his way. But I think this is, you know, I wouldn't say it's a pick'em fight, but certainly one that is closer than it would appear on paper. And I also think Felice Herrig is not getting a whole lot of love. She's sitting out there at plus 150. It doesn't seem like bettors are moving that number. I have a lot of respect for the body of work with Karolina Kowalkiewicz, but, I mean, look at Felice Herrig in her current form. I mean, to me, that's a pick'em fight this weekend.
Yeah, so many of these fighters that are making good accounts of themselves that maybe not have been getting noticed, and they'll certainly have the stage to. And we talked about, obviously, the bummer of the main event pullout, but maybe more on a positive. You mentioned something about breathing room between cards. Now, somebody that does breakdowns in the cards, I could ask you for days, John, but guys like yourself, I was so appreciative of all the prep and the week-to-week you guys do in and out, but I also got to imagine it's a bit taxing. Can you tell me, is there any of a, you know, on a personal note, somebody who's been around the block, is there any kind of a reinvigoration feeling, maybe that's a bit of strong of a word, but kind of heading into a big card like this off of a break that is seemingly rare these days?
we're ready to go, no doubt about it. And oftentimes our schedule doesn't allow for a 3 or 4 week respite as I've had right now. I think I did 6 shows the last 7 weeks in the fourth quarter of 2017, and then it was a pretty quick start in January and February as well. So it's been nice, and I think it certainly, as I sort of was alluding to earlier, it helps to build the fight card, it builds the anticipation. I feel like there hasn't been a live UFC event in 8 weeks, and of course it has only been 2 or 3. So I think it helps. You know, I think when Stipe knocked out Fabricio Werdum a couple years ago in Brazil, there wasn't a show the next week. You had Thomas Almeida and Cody Garbrandt 2 weeks later, but I thought even that Stipe's win had some chance to breathe, and the MMA media allows it to marinate a little bit. I thought that was hugely beneficial for Stipe. So yeah, I think strategically when you can do it, it's a great thing to do, but for better or for worse, we're live 41 out of 52 weeks a year, and oftentimes you're just not going to have a chance to get a breath of air in between fight cards. But certainly, I think this card is the beneficiary of the way the schedule played out here.
John, you know, we alluded to this a little bit earlier in the interview, but Rogan, Cruz, Cormier, Felder, Smith, I know your job always has to be the same. You have to deliver the same job that you do every card. But is there a different mindset that you have to get into depending on who is with you on that panel?
It's a good question. I think my mentality and approach is pretty consistent. You know, I will say Daniel Cormier and Dominic Cruz and guys who I used to call fights with, like Brian Stann and Kenny Florian, those guys are my dear friends. Some of them might even be groomsmen if I was getting married next weekend, right? So there's a different mentality, I think, when you're so close with those guys and you've spent so much time with them during fight week, whereas a guy like Joe Rogan, you know, we're staying at different hotels. I might not even see him before I get to the venue. So it's a little bit of a different fight week feel when we're doing a pay-per-view as opposed to one of these smaller shows. But my mentality is largely the same. I think the biggest difference is 3 men versus 2 men, whether or not I'm going to be doing the post-fight interviews, am I emceeing the weigh-in. There are a lot of different elements to the job. And candidly, a week like this, I'm going to Brooklyn, New York. No post-fight interviews. I'm not emceeing the weigh-in, and I got a 3-man booth. My voice is going to feel a lot different come Saturday night, right? There's a lot less on my plate this weekend, and I'm excited for it. You know, in a 2-man booth, when I'm doing post-fight interviews, I can barely talk at the end of the night. There's a lot more that the voice goes through. So we're excited, man. I get excited to work with all these guys, but anytime there's a new team like we're trotting out there this weekend, I think there's a little bit of an extra hop in your step, I guess.
John, you're not going to believe this, but you know how everybody has a bucket list?
Of course, man.
All right. I kind of have one for you, and it's one that I wanted to kind of do the math on, but I wasn't able to do it before the show.
You can check off falling into a pool randomly.
Yeah, that, definitely. That'll get checked off. But the one for me, and I have to imagine it's probably on yours as well, is how about calling every belt changing hands at some point? Do you know where you're at on that list and what that will feel like?
Every division?
Every division. Okay. Being able to call that fight when the belt changes hands.
Wow. I mean, Demetrius Johnson ain't having that conversation. That's interesting, man. You know, that is interesting. And it's something I hadn't thought of because, candidly, for the bulk of my time doing this job, it was like, man, I can't wait to have my chance to put a capstone on a championship fight. You know, I'm calling a lot of great fights and a lot of great main events, but oftentimes the main events would end. I'm not crowning anybody a champion, right? So I remember doing the Eddie Alvarez, Rafael Dos Anjos title fight on UFC Fight Pass, and it was one of the first times I was able to cap a finish in a championship situation of any kind. So I'm happy to have, you know, sort of been the number one guy for about a year and a half and being able to sort of be a part in some small way of these historical moments. But in terms of belt change of hands, I got to think it's 2 or 3 at least. I mean, certainly Rose Namajunas and TJ Dillashaw the same night, and I guess George St. Pierre as well. I don't know, man. I got to do some math.
Did you do Max and Jose in Brazil?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I want you to think for the next time that we speak to you what your celebration will be when that day comes where you've done every division.
I will get back to you on that. And I appreciate even you laying any thought to me and these titles changing hands. That means a lot to me, bud.
John, we have another co-host for the day. It's Keith Lee. He's got a question for you. What do you have, Keith, for John Anik?
Sweet. It's actually more of a question for the entire panel. So, like, with
The pullout of going back to the Tony Ferguson fight, with the pullout of Tony Ferguson, how do you feel about him just being in like a gatekeeper position and him being like one of the best fighters, if not the best fighter in the division, and sitting in that weird position, having to gate the title at this point?
Well, okay, it's an interesting conversation. I certainly wouldn't classify him as a gatekeeper, but you're right, being stripped of the interim title sort of puts him in a weird situation. And I think somewhat to your point, Keith, his next fight almost assuredly is not going to be for a UFC title, which seems very weird based upon the body of work. So he's in a tricky situation, but it's nothing that a win in his next fight won't fix, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, with a record of only one loss and like 13 wins, and having won a belt, gatekeeper's just he's not really beyond a gatekeeper, but
more sitting in the position where he has to hold before the guy gets the title. He's the best fighter.
Yeah, he'll have a power position to play. But the injury, how far will the setback take him? And then all, the unknown, you know, from the other side of the pond with the Irishman. Yeah, there'll be a he'll be getting stripped, but you know, is he right back in? Dana White put out September. Right. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know what kind of a role he'll have. And John, I know there's probably some stuff you can or can't share, but this will be my final question. When you land, will you already have the playbook as to what officially is happening and when in regards to the interim title being stripped, the undisputed title being stripped, and what happens in terms of a draw? Because if there is a draw, does Tony, as interim, become undisputed if when the fight started, they stripped the Irishman? You see what I'm saying? And it's not crazy to ask this because something crazy just happened on Easter, so I figured I'd ask you.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tony Ferguson presumably has already been stripped, so he would be out of any equation. Is that right?
That's the part that I don't know. It sounds like I think they said he will be. So I don't know if all that just happens when that other fight starts or when the other guys make weight. But, you know, Tony's pleading a great case as to why Robert Whittaker wasn't stripped, him being interim, and they allowed the fight between Bisping and GSP to occur. You know, and then conveniently it actually worked out that they had an interim champion because he became the undisputed champion. So lots of confusion.
Right. Well, I think if we proceed as if Tony Ferguson is going to be stripped of the interim title and at least for this conversation take him out of the equation, all I can tell you here on Wednesday is that I haven't been given any direction that a big deal is going to be made of this at all, you know, with words like strip or vacant or undisputed. I haven't been told not to use the word undisputed. As far as I'm concerned, we are calling a UFC lightweight championship fight this weekend, and the man who wins it will be the undisputed UFC lightweight champion of the world. I don't know exactly what that will mean for Conor McGregor, but I feel like Conor McGregor's next fight, he'll likely be out of the blue corner taking on the undisputed champ.
There you have it. All right, folks. Give him a follow on Twitter, @John_Anik. That'll be his voice calling the fights at UFC 223. This Saturday, it is a pay-per-view. Order it because it is stacked. You got two title fights, and you have some amazing matchups featuring ranked fighters. John, thank you as always for the time. We appreciate it. Safe travels, and break a leg on Saturday night.
Pleasure, fellas. Thank you.
All right. Take care. There you have it, folks. That's John.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's solid,
dope,
man. He's really solid. We are going to take a break now. It's MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM Rush 93. Stay close. We'll be right back.
I'd like to dedicate this to all of the Creator's righteous children.
They pat down TSA agents because they don't know where those people have been. And because they can. They are Gorgeous George and Goes. And this is MMA Junkie Radio.
As the attention of the college sports world turns to spring football and baseball, follow your school on one of SiriusXM's college conference channels. SEC Radio is on channel 374, ACC Radio is on channel 371, and Pac-12 Radio is on channel 373. Check them out on your radio or on the SiriusXM app. That same SiriusXM app houses the MMA Junkie Radio show, so if you missed any part of it, check it out, commercial-free and in HD quality. All right, we are running out of time here. Keith Lee, what you got on tap next? When's your next fight? Anything in the works?
I don't have anything official, but like I said, the Contender Series is coming back pretty soon. I think they're coming in June, right?
Mm-hmm. Have they hollered at you, or have you hollered at them?
So my manager has been in contact with Sean Shelby, and he's been talking to a lot of people. So it should be good. Mm-hmm. I'm playing either that or LFA wants me. They wanted me in June, so it's a toss-up. So right now I'm not really sure where I go. Like, I got to court for this last fight, so I got to get this squared away first and then go from there.
Go's got a chance to see it. I apologize and I didn't, but I've talked to a lot of people, and at first when you hear it was a robbery, you won. Yeah. You hear it and you're like, well,
Everybody says that.
It just close? Yeah. But now at least a couple people that I know well that watch fights have said, wow, this kid really won the fight. But Go's, can you talk about it a little bit since you saw it?
So the night, remember I told you Kevin had tweeted about it, right, how bad it was? I was able to see round one that night. I watched round two and three this morning. Mm-hmm. It just makes zero sense because he has all of the pressure. He's going forward the whole time. He's landing more shots, and he gets a bunch of takedowns. I don't understand what it is they saw in the other kid's game that they get. It made no sense, dude.
What was the official score?
They gave it 29-28 me, 29-28 him, two times.
Two times?
Yeah.
And are you planning on appealing, or is it just in
your
rear view
mirror?
Already
an appeal.
Oh, okay.
So the commission appealed it. My manager appealed it, and we actually had a petition from, I think it was like 87 people in a crowd, something like that, to appeal it. So it was bad to the point where when I first came out, everybody hated me. I was in Greensburg, South Carolina. Like, everybody hated me. Like, they were, like, screaming at me, like, go back to 25. Like, you're going to get your head knocked off. Like, it's the worst fight for you to take, blah, blah, blah. Just, like, throwing stuff in the cage. Like, it was bad. So he came out, and the entire crowd was on the side. Right after the fight, I asked the crowd, like, who do you think won? Like, do you think I lost 2 rounds? Everybody was like, no, hell no, screaming. One lady literally stood up and threw her chair across the arena. It was terrible. Like, she was so
– wow.
It was
that lady's
terrible.
Awesome.
Yeah, she was amazing.
She have a shirt on that said, just bleed?
One of those tap-out shirts?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was bad. It was to the point where the entire crowd was on my side. The commission walked to me right afterwards and was like, they felt embarrassed for the entire promotion that they even happened. Like, it was one of those things I can't really hold my head over because it happened, but – like, from a standpoint of a fighter, not even because it was my fight, but from a standpoint of a fighter, like, you can't do that as a judge. Yeah. Like, you're messing up people's careers.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, at least there's a couple options for you.
Yeah.
Maybe
the
LFA, maybe Contender Series. Have you heard when Contender Series starts?
I think it starts in June. Not really sure exactly what date.
And in the meantime, just keep honing your skills?
We'll probably get, like, one more regional fight in between then. Or if, like I said, I'm not really sure what. I let Sucker Punch handle. Sucker Punch amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. But so
great
I let
people.
Them handle everything. Yeah, they're amazing. I'm with Brian Butler.
Yeah,
so he's amazing.
And one last thing, even though early on we were joking, and of course what we were talking about was for real. You and Kevin really did not talk. You were telling us during the break. You and him are best friends now, and great relationship, great training partners, and you're very happy here in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah, we're hip to hip at this point. Like I said, it was for the better or the good, because I was so bad. Like, it was to the point where, like I said, it was tough love. Like, now that I'm older, I understand that, and I appreciate what he did more or less than, like, if he would have been buddy-buddy with me, because I looked up to him so much as a kid, so if he would have been buddy-buddy with me while I was doing the bad things, I don't think I never would have changed. Like, it forced me to get my shit together. Like, I was like, well, I got to be friends with my brother. Like, I can't not be. Like, it's the only friend I had once I came to Vegas, so I was like, I can't not be, like, on my shit, you know?
Yeah.
What's it like in the training room? Who's on who more? And I'm not saying, like, who gets the better of who. I'm saying, like, if you miss a practice, or
saying.
Him, or who gets on the
so
other guy
he,
more?
It's weird because he's one of the guys where he doesn't care about anybody but himself until you ask him, and then he'll let you know his opinion. Like, he's one of those guys where a lot of people think he's putting on a facade or he's putting on, like, a character for the media. I'm telling you right now, I've lived with him my entire life, that is Kevin. Kevin is a asshole. He will tell you how he feels and, like, what he feels about you. So, like, when it comes to, like, going to practice, like, I'm usually always there. So he mostly snaps on me about things that happened in the training room. About, like, my main thing right now is going at my own pace and not letting, like, older guys, like, Joseph Benavidez, for instance, like, one of the best training partners I have. But he's so great at making you go to his pace because he has that veteran style where he forces you to slow down. Like, a speed is a really big part of my game. And if somebody takes that, it makes it make my whole game throw up. So he's one of the guys that will tell me I can feel like I had a great round, and I'll talk to him, and I feel like I had the worst round of my life.
And you're saying Brandon Marino's spent a couple
amazing.
Weeks with you guys, huh?
Honestly, like I said, I didn't believe the hype of Brandon until he came in. He's amazing. Like, I don't get that to a lot of guys. Brandon's really good. And especially at a weight class so close to mine, I usually don't get that to a lot of guys. Brandon's really good. His scrambling ability is crazy. That's why I think that Ray Borg fight is going to be.
Scrappy kid, huh? Just
scrappy.
Positions
he
think he has nothing for you, he's got something, right?
Man, he don't care. He's a small dude, too. Like, don't get it wrong. He's a 25er. And, like, as you can see, I'm a pretty big guy at 35. Like, he's a small guy, and he was so scrambly and strong. Like, it was insane.
Hey, Kevin showed me a video one time of you guys getting into a car, and him trying to race it as fast as he can to scare you. And at the end, you just look like you wanted the fuck out of that car. How bad was that ride?
So that was right when he got his – it was a 2016 Benz that he got, and he put it into the sport mode while we're on the freeway. I was fucking terrified. Like, fucking – it's like he's the most reckless driver you would meet. Like, he got a motorcycle, and as soon as he got the motorcycle, it's way scarier being on the back of a motorcycle than being on the front of it. And that was my very first time being on the back. We were on the freeway going like 130.
Whoa.
Bullshit you not. We were moving like in between
car
cars.
Or the motorcycle?
Like, on a motorcycle. In between cars. Like, fucking
when was
swerving.
This?
Like 2 years ago, maybe.
Does he still have the motorcycle?
No, he don't. Of course not.
Okay. I was going to say.
He was moving. Like, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever been a part of my life. I just closed my eyes and was like, all right, please give me the fuck off this bike.
He looked like if they gave him the option to just open the door and roll out, he would take his
I really would. Oh, 100%.
Did you have a helmet on?
No.
Oh, man.
No, I was nuts. I was terrified.
Wow.
I was terrified.
All right, listen, we have about 90 seconds left. The week's almost over. You have anything to say before we bounce on out of here?
Dude, just excited. Come say hi if you're in Brooklyn. Reach out to me at DanTomMMA, especially if you have an extra ticket for a Danny Oakers that'll be floating around. Excited to see Danny. Excited to see you guys all in Brooklyn. Be safe and just come say hi.
All right. Goes, you said you have anything before you leave? Any final predictions or anything about the card? Or?
If you guys want to have fun, Sucker Punch Entertainment, that's Keith's representative as well. If you just pick all their fighters, $20 pays $400.
That's Felice Herrig, Paul Felder, and Max Holloway.
Dog City.
Hey, that's good money.
Sucker
though.
Punch.
That's
good money. Yeah, we might have to do that on the way out.
Sucker punch the sports book right
and,
now.
And we are headed to Hampton, Virginia, to JBLE, Fort Eustis, and Langley Air Base for another morale visit. We'll be going with George Masvidal and Derek Lewis and Eric Nixick. So we will be off tomorrow and Friday, and we'll see you all on Monday. Keith Lee, thank you very much for coming by.
I appreciate you guys having me.
We'd love to have you back in the future.
Oh, definitely. This is dope. I appreciate you guys having me.
Awesome, my man. Awesome. All right, folks. Big thanks to Brian Butler, Dustin Poirier, Chris Curtis, Bobby Razek, Mike Brown, Keith Lee, and John Anik. Those were our guests for the week.
Yes,
keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the weekend on Facebook, our website, Twitter. We have writers. We have videographers. It's going to be nuts. Can't wait for the show. We're out of here, folks. Go out there and be a champion. You'll never be the same.